Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The show is back. Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin. We are Afternoon Drive. We got Magic Mac Robinson, a.k.a. Macaroni Bologna. On the board, we got Sweet Young Thing, Jax Gregory behind the glass. We got Big Weege, Jake Volnick on the 2020s. But hi, buddy. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. I feel good, which is different than maybe I felt all weekend long. I felt a little under the weather, it felt like, all week. And I blame Mac and Mac alone for that development.
I will say, Jake Volnick also telling me before the show he felt down. I warned Mac, if somebody dares get sick after you, you will take all the blame, whether it's your fault or not.
Yeah, lucky for Mac, I feel great right now. I feel absolutely the best I've felt in 4 days right now. So thank you for that, Mac.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's technically a thank you. I do think what you're saying ends in you. But I think it might start with something else.
Yeah, yeah. UMF, and I mean my friend.
That's exactly. You know what? We're a bunch of MFs here.
That's right.
My friends.
That's right.
Yep, that's what we're saying.
Big week to you. Went to Chicago on Sunday?
Yeah, I remember some of it.
Yeah.
No, it was awesome. I got to be honest with you. Napped super hard after I got home yesterday. Took a little nap this morning, and we're back. But me and my brother, shut down, not a bar, but a restaurant in Chicago after a Hawks win. It was everything I wanted to be. I feel like $1 million right now, probably because I spent a lot of dollars this weekend.
Sometimes when people describe the weekend they want to have, and then you come back and you're like, oh man, you only got to do about 75% of it. No, you described a weekend.
Yeah.
You set out, you did the weekend exactly as described, and I couldn't be happier for you.
I kind of feel like it's like the Lord of the Rings, but the thing we're chasing was booze.
Oh yeah,
no, but like, okay. That's I've got like 17 stories from it, but
you
we
did,
can't.
You did the my precious thing every time you got a beer.
Yeah, I actually did. That was actually how much I slurred my precious was an indication of how much I drank to that point, which was a lot. Let's just say that.
I'll disappoint you really quickly. Lord of the Rings, the second one I saw in the movie theater, only movie I've ever fallen asleep to in the movie theater.
You're not disappointing me. Those movies are beyond me.
Okay, good. All right. Yeah. I was worried that was going to be a little bit of a crossroads for us.
I respect everybody's ability to like them. I cherish them. If they mean something to you, please. For me, it's just a little too mythical for me.
Yeah, legit fell asleep.
Yeah. And then there's like all this like added, like, because Vanessa loves them. Anything to do with Lord of the Rings. I got every other nerd thing I had to hip her to.
Mm-hmm.
But this thing, and she's like, we're going to watch all the Lord of the Rings. And man, I think this was when we were pregnant with Liv. So that's like 13, 14, 15 years ago. Time, again, I don't know, time's a flat circle, but I had to opt out after the first one. I mean, we watched the next two because she has more power than I do.
Yeah.
And what else was I going to do? Walk out. This is when I lived in Lansing. Walk outside in Lansing in the squelching heat of 70 degrees? Absolutely not. I will not take myself and my health seriously. But yeah, just absolutely awful. Not as strong, though, as the response to Jed Wills' comments over the weekend, where Jed Wills said the no-no words. He said the things that apparently you're not allowed to say in responding to his time from going to the starting left tackle to now a backup swing tackle.
You'd started the first 57 games every time you were healthy.
Yeah.
So how shocking was this to not?
I mean, it was pretty shocking. I mean, I decided myself that I made a business decision not to play after the Bengals game going into that Ravens game because I was injured. And then the next week was when I received the news. So, I mean,
do you think that they misinterpreted the business decision?
I'm not sure.
I'm going to go ahead and say yes. I'm going to go, if you said the words business decision to the Browns brass, I'm going to go ahead and say, if then when you were healthy to play, you didn't play, I'm going to say they took it in the no-no way.
Well, all right, hold on. We don't know that he was 100, because his whole big claim was that he was like 70%, right?
Yeah.
Like the
yeah.
If anything, I want to find out what happened with the Browns doctors. Why did they clear him when he felt like he was 70%?
I think that is a fantastic question. I think hearing the guy say it like twice, he has no idea what it means.
It was bad messaging.
Yes.
I don't know who got in his head. No. It was bad messaging. I thought about it.
I think nobody got in his head, and I think that might be the problem.
Well, I don't know that the elevator goes all the way to the top floor with him, okay? I don't know that. And so I got a feeling somebody put that term into his head, and he was like, this is what I'm going with. And it's like, nah, you're not supposed to tell the media that, though.
We've all had that, right? The thing where we think we know what a word means and then we don't know what it means. Oh, no, I don't think I can say it.
Yeah, I'll probably don't say it then.
All right. It is not. No. How do you announce this? Anyways, in sixth grade, I thought it meant you were being annoying. And
okay.
I said this word and Mrs. Dotson about took the back of my head off.
Yeah.
Like because I called a girl that. And apparently you're not supposed to. But, like, I didn't know. I was like, no, it's just mean like you're a jerk or whatever.
Oh,
turns out that's not what that means. I'll tell you what it is off air.
I think I figured it out.
Should I tweet it?
I probably wouldn't. That might go poorly for everybody involved.
Not that word.
Not that one?
I know I can't use that. Everybody knows you can't use that word.
I thought that was obvious you couldn't use that word.
No, I still cannot find a way to say it.
Make the right business decision. Don't do it.
Yeah, okay. I will do what Jed Wills did and protect my career. I just think this couldn't have come worse at a worse time for Andrew Berry. I think this is Andrew Berry's already now, by some folks, being blamed as the guy who really put the word in Jimmy Haslam's ear about the Deshaun Watson trade. Now you've got two first-round picks that you can grade him on, and one guy is not getting a second contract, and he's not even to his fifth-year option. And then the guy that you guaranteed the fifth-year option on just used the unforgivable phrase of business decision. Oh, and by the way, it hints to a guy who doesn't play hard. It's not great about Kevin and his culture. It's most not great about Andrew Berry.
Yeah, I mean, this was one of the swings that Andrew Berry took. It wasn't just that he was trying to justify the first-round pick and Jed Wills and then giving him the extension in that fifth year. It's just it's the idea that now you got the fifth year and it's done. I just think bad messaging happened here, Nick.
Yeah.
I think if he would have – I look at it like this. You know how you describe – let's say older ladies sometimes, and you're like, if you have a conversation, you're like, I think it might be a disagreement. But instead, if you go into that conversation and you're like, hey, Karen, it's not going great.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's bad messaging. Like, one's going to get you maybe, just maybe where you need to go, and the other one is going to have a full-on fight and a full-on argument. Jed Wills, in using the term that he did and using it how he phrased it, like, you just set yourself up for a bad argument.
Yeah, you did. The problem is nobody's hearing and nobody's giving him that slack.
Because
you and I are both giving him that slack of, I just think he doesn't know what it means.
Yeah.
But it's clearly, this is a brush fire that has turned into a forest fire. Like this, I mean, we have people on the station, Matt Derry, who was on yesterday, filling in on Veterans Day, saying, get this chucklehead out of town. I don't think anybody but you and I are hearing the nuance of this guy seriously doesn't know what the hell he's saying. And all they're hearing is the guy who we know, because their Twitter threads on it, that this guy plays 2 seconds out of a 4 second play every single play. That guy's now talking about business decisions.
Well, and think about it, though. Like, what he was trying to explain, I think if he just didn't say business decisions, I think a lot of us would have understood. You're 70%. They clear you, but you don't believe that you can actually play your best. You've spent weeks of having everyone highlight on Twitter threads, on everything else under the sun, about how you don't finish plays and you don't do this. And that's what happens when he tries to play injured. All right, I don't want to play injured then. I don't want to have that tape out there for my future football life. Like, I get it from his perspective. It is a slap in the face to the Browns. It's a slap in the face to Andrew Berry. It's a slap in the face to the teammates. But from a personal standpoint for him, like, I get it if you think you're not going to play with the Browns anymore.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I totally don't think he knew what he was saying. I also don't get him any slack because of everything else. Like, I'll be honest with you, when he goes later into talking about him getting benched, what was that? Was that the Baltimore game? What game came after the Baltimore game? The Chargers game.
Yeah, the Chargers game.
And, you know, he's like, it was a quick decision and, you know, it happened, whatever. And I'm like, buddy, you don't just get benched because of that. You don't. Like, this was a benching that was 4.5 years in the making, because the Browns, this is the thing, and it's always the thing that airs completely hollow with the Browns, but the Browns defend these guys who they know are doing things that aren't in the best interest of winning football games. With Deshaun, it was maybe all the other stuff you have to do in terms of being a teammate, in terms of, you know, bonding with your teammates and getting them to believe in you and, you know, helping them push the cart up the hill, that kind of stuff. And also the playing good at football. And and then they lied when they said he gives us the best chance to win because they couldn't say anything else. But they kept putting him out there. With Jed, they've known for 4 years. They've told you for 4 years. He's got to play to the whistle. We're trying to get him to play to the whistle. So then why were you playing him? Like, and I think this was just a culmination of, hey, he's the 10th pick. We got to make this work.
You're trying to make sure that your picks are justified, right? Andrew Berry doesn't have a bunch of first round picks to fall back on. He's got to be able to go to the Haslam and say, hey, this one did work. Kind of like Cedric Tillman, who for years we looked at as didn't work. And then all of a sudden in three games is like, oh, maybe you have something there.
And what's crazy about it is the most defensible thing. According to the doctors, I was healthy enough to play, but I wasn't comfortable playing.
It's very defensible. That's the part that makes me so agitated about all this. If he just didn't say business decision, we wouldn't be thinking twice about it. We would just say, okay, he was injured.
Then don't
get a second opinion from another doctor. I want to know why the Browns doctors, though, said he could play when Jed Wills is telling you he can't.
Yeah, I do think that strikes to a bigger thing here of, I mean, it happened with Baker. It certainly happened with Deshaun a couple times. Like, at some point, I can't just put it on the player. And what's funny about this is, to your point, if Jed didn't say business decision and said, I felt like going out there was going to cost my team, you can't be mad at Baker for making the quote-unquote business decision to play through the shoulder injury and then be mad at Jed for doing the exact opposite, which, by the way, is, like, it is so alarming to me. Just if I can have, it is so alarming that this team has players that are playing through injuries that the players don't feel like they should play through, and then get mad at a guy for not playing through an injury that he doesn't feel like he's ready to play through.
No, a lot of us would say that's smart. A lot of us would be like, oh yeah, I get it. You want to be a starter somewhere else next year. You're playing for another contract, and you don't want to look like you at 70%, because you on 70% isn't anywhere close to good enough to play in the NFL. You're gonna get embarrassed out there.
But
you're gonna go from being a starter to being a backup real quick if you're out there.
I do think it's always interesting, like the circles of trust, the concentric circles of trust. I do think the reaction to Jed saying what he did proves that people are more out on Jed than they are on this Browns organization, because they are not giving Jed the benefit of the doubt. And it's really rare with, like, the cynicism that is at all-time high with this Browns team. It is really rare to see a player that the fans right now dislike more than the team in general.
Well, I think when you use a term like business decisions, whether you know what it is or isn't, it connotates to everyone listening that you are selfish, that you are out for yourself, that you don't care about the team, you don't care about the team's success, you're not willing to put your body out on the line. And even though there are a lot of players that operate within that, all I care about is me mindset, when you vocalize it, that's when you have a real issue. Because you really aren't part of a team at that point. You're just playing for yourself. You're an independent contractor.
216-474-0092. We do have Jed Wills' comments on whether he feels like there's a sense of finality with the Browns, but is this just a bad case of messaging by Jedrick Wills when he used the term business decision? It's hard to have sympathy for somebody for using a phrase at the wrong time to say that thing. So I'm not going to do it because he hasn't played hard enough for me to give him that pass. But we got quick hits coming up at 2:40. We've got Austin Carr, Mr. Cavalier, coming up at 3:20. Maybe we'll ask him about the Nate Thurman and the jersey and the rafters and whatnot. We also have Albert Breer coming up at 5:20. We've got, in case we missed it, at the end of the show, but you guys can chime in. At Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. We're going to get to the obvious question. The answer will be yes. It's just not going to be when you want it. That's next on 92.3 The Fan. Jed Wills, at the end of his press conference, when asked about, hey, can you get a sense of finality here? Because you're using things like business decisions, and you're basically talking about how you don't feel like you're part of their plans, and you're frustrated. He did use the word frustrated. He didn't seem to, like, put it all on the team. But then he goes, ah, it could go either way. I'm like, maybe Jed Wills just, maybe this just is who Jed is. Maybe he's just kind of a devil-may-care kind of guy, and he just kind of just lives moment to moment, and we shouldn't put much more stock into that.
Big, like, Hawaiian surfer vibe out of Jed Wills. Yeah. He just doesn't seem like he cares that much. But when you say what he says, we have to then hold him accountable for it, right?
Yeah.
Like, when you say business decisions, you're telling everybody that you are thinking about you and you alone. You don't care about the team success. You don't care about what happens with your guys around you or anything like that. You don't care about Andrew Berry putting his neck out on the line and drafting for you. It is a you decision. And that's, listen, I don't hate when people make those decisions. I think a lot of times in like our own life, we have to make those type of decisions. Like us as people that just go to work and work jobs essentially. But in a team sport environment, it's just entirely different. It's just entirely different.
So I listen. I'm not trying to give him a pass for this, but we're talking about
no Wilson waiver,
Peter Lim pass here. But what he's describing is not a business decision. Like,
sure it is.
He was hurt, and the team knew he was hurt, and there's a disagreement over whether the team thinks he was healthy enough to play and whether he felt he was healthy enough to play.
I think in his mind, and it's kind of what he said there, was the idea that, again, if he's 70%, then it is what it is. But I think he thought he was going to basically stink up the joint. If he got cleared, okay, fine. But I think he thought he was just going to be bad and not be very productive. And I don't know, say what you want. Those videos of him just kind of sitting there and loafing around during plays, those are the type of things I promise you had to have gotten to him.
So it's not just a messaging problem then. It's also a who did this? Like if Nick Chubb said, hey, I felt kind of banged up here, coming off the bye. I just don't think I'm healthy enough to play this weekend. I got to make a business decision for myself. None of us would react the same way.
Yeah, I think he's entirely within bounds for what he had to say. I think his messaging was wrong. And I think the fact that it is Jed Wills, as you bring up right there, 100% matters in this discussion. Because we've seen him be who he is for 4.5 years. We know who he is.
Yeah.
Like in this instance, I think we're more likely to side with the idea that because he has expressed to us how much he doesn't really love football and we've seen him loaf around and do all these things. I think it's more likely to us that Jed Wills was probably closer to 100% than maybe he believes he is, and he just wasn't going out there and trying to put anything on the line. But
I
how do we know
the sense,
difference?
I don't get the sense that the guy's lying. I actually think he might be being too truthful.
I don't know.
I think this is one of those rare cases where, because he is, and it is a branding disaster that you say this, and he will pay the penance within this organization, whether it's the thing everybody wants or not. Like, this is going to, if there's another chance for him to, if he practices really well one week and DeJuan looks a little worse, DeJuan's still going to get that start.
Well, let's put it this way. Do you feel like he'll ever play a snap for the Browns again?
Yep, because there's enough football left. I don't think it makes sense to say he won't, because at some point you're going to need a left tackle or you're going to need a right tackle. The odds of DeJuan and Jack staying healthy the rest of the season feel nil with their recent injury histories.
Would we go DeJuan Jones and then back up and then back up and then Jed Wills? Or are we going straight from DeJuan Jones to Jed Wills? Because I feel like we're going to do that other territory. The DeJuan into back up, every person we possibly can, and then into Jed Wills.
No, because I think they still realize he's better than the backup and the backup's backup. Or, because here's the thing, everybody, like this is another case of the Browns with the easiest win possible, just not being able to do it, which would be cutting Jed Wills. They're not going to do that. They're just not, because it's going
to... I agree with you. I don't think they will.
It would set them back in the cap in a way they don't need it to. So, like everybody, and I heard Matt Derry yesterday say, get him out of town now. That's what you would do 25 years ago. This organization doesn't do that. And so they're going to allow him to play out the rest of this year. I think this slams shut the door of this guy retiring, unless there's a regime change and whoever comes in really likes Jed Wills or sees something on tape that we don't see. Maybe it's like the Zapruder
film. You think retiring?
What did I say retiring?
Oh, I must have misheard you. Mac, did he say retiring?
No.
Or did I just mishear you there? I might have misheard
you. I'm not
trying
to get canceled again.
I was like, how did we go from there to there? Okay.
No. What I mean is he won't be here again.
Yeah.
Unless there's a change of regime and somebody comes in and likes him. But he'll play. What people are going to hate about this is that guy, for every complaint you have, that guy's going to play another 5 years in the NFL if he wants to. Because
I think a lot of people look at him like he's a mid starting left tackle in this league.
He's Juwan Taylor.
Yeah, there's spots for him.
Yeah, and it might be on the right side. He even actually talked about that. Apparently he took some snaps on the right side because, I think he is the swing tackle right now. But yeah, I mean, but this idea of, and I empathize with it so much. There are so many times where you could really tame the dragon that is pissed off Browns fans right now. And the easiest thing, I mean, cake, stealing candy from a baby. The simplest thing that you could do to make Browns fans happy is cutting Jed Wills. And they're not going to do it. And it's smart business. But man, I'll tell you, if you really want to start pushing back on some of those people who are furious at 2-7, I told you before the show, there's a mix of anger and apathy with Browns fans that is kind of like, I haven't seen to this degree in this style, where on one side of the mouth they're saying, I don't care, there's a game on Sunday, ha ha ha. And then the second you say something positive about them, they just melt down because it's like, no, this is the biggest disappointment ever. Screw this team. Screw this organization.
Please stop talking about me. I'm right here.
Like the and by the way, that's a huge swath of people.
Yeah.
Like that's, I mean, that I would say that's a majority. The Browns fans have not been united in any way for the last 3 years. Really the last 4 years, because the Baker Wars started to split everybody up. For 4 years, everybody's been in their own little camps here. And Sean, I mean, fragmented every one of those little camps.
And now we're united and that this sucks?
Yes. And the that big concentric circle of 70% of people who are angry / apathetic at any given moment about the Browns, you could win them back by cutting Jed Wills. That's not good business, so you're not going to do it.
I mean, I don't know, if I'm the Browns, why, unless you need him because you have so many injuries or anything, there's nothing I can learn with Jed Wills now. What he's cemented to me is the idea that he's never going to, and I probably knew this 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, but he's never going to put on a Browns uniform after this season again. And so we've talked a lot about what these games are for. They're for about evaluating, they're for about development, they're for about figuring who's good, who won't be good. Like DeJuan Jones is slotted in the left tackle spot now until either an injury happens or, you know, that's really about it. Like, this is now his job. And I really have no need for Jed Wills outside of just being a body in case an injury happens.
So I am not the best person to ask about this, because when Daryl starts to get in his cap shenanigans, I need Careless Whisperer played so I can stay interested, because it's just the whole salary cap thing is just, I just don't care.
Yeah. I spent a lot of time this weekend looking it up, and then I was like, oh boy, I wasted a lot of time this weekend, didn't I?
And even describing it, it's like when somebody comes out and lists off 15 stats in one, like, 60, I just can't do it. It's just not for me. But because you have dead money for Jed over the next several years, because of the way they put out his...
Wait, should we get the music going when you talk dead cap?
No,
I think
no,
we need the music. I think you're talking dead cap.
I'm using the dumbest... this is how an idiot would describe this, because I am an idiot. Because they push money into the future and it's dead cap, it would hurt you if you cut him now versus if you just let him play out the rest of the season and leave as a free agent. Because I'm pretty sure all that dead cap comes due now, and that's as well as I can explain it. So, and by the way...
Would have been better with the music.
Here's another reason why. Then this is the other part. They're not going to do it because it would make Andrew Berry look really bad at a time where Andrew Berry can't look bad.
It all makes him look really bad, though.
Yeah, well, but cutting him now on the spot for something he said that makes him look bad, it's doubling down. Because then you don't have the next 8 games for Jed to miraculously come into a game. Right now, if you're Andrew Berry, you can go and be like, listen, he might have to play again. And then if he has 1 or 2 good games after this, if he saves your bacon in any game, you can be like, well, okay, he still served his purpose for 5 years, and now we're just on to whatever pick we have. I think those comments in the same week as cutting him would probably be a bad, bad thing inside that organization.
It would be a bad thing, but I also think all of this, we're just at a point where it's just so bad anyway, it doesn't even really... Like, if you're Andrew Berry, I agree with you, you don't make the move to try to, you know, curry favor with Browns fans, but it's all just so bad, Nick, already. And I think the past couple days have just highlighted the disaster that has been Jed Wills. I mean, that's all this is. He's been everyone's pinata for 48 hours now.
What's quieter? Letting Jed Wills leave in free agency in March, or cutting him now two days after this?
Listen, I'm not in the cut him camp.
I'd love it. I'm so sick of watching through life.
I see how this is going to go down. Like, I don't see how he plays. I don't know how he is actually a starter unless we have just so many injuries that you have to throw him in there. Maybe in like the third or fourth quarter of a game, maybe a couple guys get dinged up and he just happens to be out on the field. Maybe that's how that goes down.
Should they play him as punishment? You know,
I thought about that. I thought about that. He'd hate that more than actually playing, it sounds like.
Jed, we're going to need you at right tackle this weekend. Sorry, bub.
This is my theory with Deshaun Watson, where if he ever comes back into the building, like next year, you just make him run scout team and then fill up Gatorade bottles and then just do the worst of the worst things that you could possibly do.
To make him not quiet quit, hey, but loud quit.
Key card got it worked. You're in the building. Let's have you do something. How about you fold some laundry or something?
So, Jed, we're actually going to need you to play both ways. Where you're now not just the starting right tackle, we're also going to make you the replacement for Za'Darius Smith. All right, buddy, go see Coach Schwartz.
And then he turns into just being awesome as a defensive lineman. We go, wait a second, what's going on here?
That will not happen.
No, it'd be funny, though.
You can now go beyond 6 to 10 a.m. with Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima, the Morning Boys, on Tuesday and Thursdays with their emerging podcast scene. Listen live on the 92.3 The Fan Extra channel on the free Odyssey app and 92.3thefan.com, presented by Extend Technologies, or check out every single archived episode. Do you want Jed Wills gone now? You're going to be a little disappointed. I'm sorry. I have to be the guy that tells you the truth. JP's the guy that tells you the truth. But just wait like 8 weeks, and then we'll throw a parade for that one as well. Quick hits when we come back on 92.3 The Fan. Car coming in within the next 2 hours. That's all I can guarantee at this point. AC is part of the crew traveling back from Chicago, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know why I kind of knew that, and then I asked it as a question. That was a weird way to pause that. But
you could have stayed for the Cavs game, too. That would have been a great extender to your trip.
I would have had to miss today. A two-day bender.
No.
Yeah, there's no way. And also, I'd probably be divorced because I would have spent so much money.
Frank the Tank. Ooh. You would have had it.
We do not need Frank the Tank coming out any more than he already did in Chicago on Sunday night. But we got AC coming up to talk about the Cavs' quick success. We will get to the Cavs. Now, franchise record extending fast start, but let's get to quick hits. JP, the MLB offseason is in full swing. Not that anybody knows it. And Mark Feinsand of MLB.com has the Guardians as contenders to re-sign Shane Bieber and sign Orioles outfielder Anthony Santander. Would this be the big offseason you were looking for from the Guardians?
No, I need a little bit more. I mean, it's more than Austin Hedges last year. It's more than that.
And Ramon Laureano. Don't forget Ramon.
Are we in on the idea, though? We can't be alone here. Bieber's got to come back, right?
I don't know. Those guys who basically have to sign a 1-1 because they're going to pitch for maybe 2 months next year, those guys still end up making a butt ton of money. Like, specifically Bieber, because he had his peak. You're not sold on that?
I want it so badly for him, and I want it for the fans, for him to be able to right the wrong that was the previous couple years. If it ends this way, there's so many better ways that it should have ended.
If you want it for him, I think the wanting it for him is he gets that same money with the LA Dodgers.
Listen, he's better off in a different spot. I am very aware of that. But I feel like ending it this way is would be awful.
I think if you told any fan 5 months ago, you're going to re-sign Shane Bieber and Santander is going to come here. I'll be honest with you. If that's not enough, it's like the deadline. Like, all three guys can.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Contributed to the deep run in the postseason. I don't know what more you could want.
I want more pitching.
You just want Juan Soto. Just say you want Juan Soto.
No, I'm not going to say it. He's got four scheduled meetings, and the Guardians did not make the list, by the way. And yet, I went through every single word of Jeff Passan's article where he went through every single player and every single person, and he did not mark Feinsand. He put the Guardians nowhere.
Yeah. Well, that's probably for reason. That's an educated guess.
That's a local kid done good. Solon High School right there. Didn't even mention the Guardians. Neither here nor there. All right, next up. All right, we're going to go to Chicago, where you just were, where the Cavs apparently are sitting on a tarmac trying to find their way back to Cleveland. We go to ESPN 1000. I think the show's called Cap'n Hood. It's had many different iterations. Either way, they have Matt Eberflus, the Bears head coach, on weekly, and this is how this went down.
Coach, I asked you this last week that are you in crisis, and you said, no, we're not. If this isn't crisis, I don't know what it is, so I ask you again, is this a crisis that's going on right now in Halas Hall, and how does it get addressed?
You know, we're looking at this week and this week only. We do have evidence on tape that we've played good football during the course of this year. We got to pull those experiences.
Coach? Coach, your cell phone's as bad as the offense right now.
Put them on hold and see if we can reestablish.
Cap from the top rope.
That's a guy who knows the coach can't hear him, by the way.
Eberflus has made changes. Shane Waldron is now fired. They have a new offensive coordinator. They promoted up a new offensive coordinator now. That wasn't intentional. I didn't want to answer that, right?
No, you mean he intentionally went through a rough signal area?
Oh, because you can pretend you can't act that as if all of a sudden, Nick.
So he's a worse actor than he is a head coach.
I think he was dodging the questions.
I think that's the last interview
he wanted to do. That's it.
But I just did it better than he did.
It didn't sound even close to legit.
That's a trick that the laziest people on the planet pull off, of which I'm among, and so. The high-functioning sociopaths don't do that. That's every head coach in the NFL, by the way, with love and respect. But, guys like that don't do that. They don't... I can't buy that you're pulling off the...
Phone gate. Phone gate. It exists with Eberflus.
We don't have to add
everything's
gate to
a
everything.
Gate. Everything is a gate.
I tried to make everything a Ghazi once, and I was told that is, under no certain circumstances, not allowed. It's a gate.
Yeah, Caleb was sacked 9 times. They've gone 23 drives without scoring a touchdown, Nick. It is absolute disaster right now in Chicago.
By the way, you want to talk about how disastrous things are in Chicago? How about the head coach goes to ownership and says, hey, I know that the locker room is blatantly said in the media multiple times that I've lost the locker room.
Yeah.
I'd like to fire the OC. And they just go, sure, coach. Absolutely.
He's not going
to
fire himself.
But yeah, okay, but my point is, I know the Bears don't do this.
Yep.
Maybe this is when the Bears should do this.
The McCaskies, the oldest McCaskey is 105 years old. She's not going to all of a sudden be like, now we fire people.
Then tell her Nana that's the same head coach a week from now. Just lie to her. She's 105 years old. Papa Halas is back up. Can't you see him? All right, we'll
is
get
that
you.
Ditka?
Yeah. Yeah, look at him. It's the same guy. And then you just have him wear a Ditka costume.
That's it.
Nana's 105 years old. She's not going to know. But here's the thing that actually kills me about it is the Bears have a chance.
A chance for what?
No. Because of where they are.
They haven't played anyone in their division yet, though. The NFC North, they haven't touched it yet.
Yeah, but when 2 weeks ago,
NFC North is the toughest division in sports right now.
If they fired Eberflus 2 weeks ago when they should have, they were 4-4.
That was the softball part of their schedule. They needed to have a lot of wins right now to then be able to take on the Packers twice, the Lions twice, the Vikings twice. This is going downhill and everyone knows it. And the sad part is Caleb Williams is regressing in a horrible way. How does Caleb Williams look worse than he did 3 years ago?
I'm going to give you the Justin Fields special. Bad offensive line, bad play calling, bad offensive design, and a bad head coach. It's almost like the Bears keep repeating history with quarterbacks. Somewhere Rex Grossman is just beside himself.
Sexy Rexy. That man was a quarterback in a Super Bowl team.
Yeah, he was his stink on crap. Omaha! Meanwhile, Boston College defeated Syracuse 37-31 this weekend, which left Syracuse head football coach Fran Brown in an all-too-truthful mood with the media about life after a loss.
Honestly, I got a ritual. When we lose, I ain't even getting a shower till early this morning. I just be mad. I just brush my teeth. But it's I don't deserve soap. I don't deserve to do all that. I'm just focused on trying to get back and trying to make sure that our players mentally understand and know that I let them down, that they didn't do it. You know, I just wake up all night, especially when you lose. You wake up damn, it really happened. you know, it really happened that way. So it's just different pieces. And then I just move on. There's a process that I follow every week, win, lose, or draw. Only thing is, like, my wife, I can't sleep in the bed if we lose because I ain't going to get in the shower for that day. I'm just mad, and I just sit there. I just brush my teeth. That's what I have to do so y'all won't say my breath stink. But I'm just kind of locked in at certain things, certain ways. I think you got to earn the right to do certain things. So, you know, winners get washed. You know what I'm saying? I'm a loser. I just kind of waited a little bit.
I thought he was on the Miami party boat. Winners get washed.
Winners get washed.
Bit or no bit, claiming that he doesn't shower after a loss.
Oh, no, that's just an authentic human right there. I've never heard a more authentic human in my life than that guy right there. That guy, he's never told a lie. He's just a funny human.
Here's the thing. You didn't play. So the idea that you stay. Well, yeah, he's the head coach. No, what I mean is he's the head coach. How stinky do you get as a head coach?
Oh, that was the head coach? Oh, you buy? I didn't get that at all. I thought he was talking about his wife. I'm like, what player is getting married in college? That seems like a bad decision in life, but sometimes it works out for people.
Yeah, like, how much are you sweating as a head coach that you got the stank that you can't sleep in bed that night?
Get a shower, man.
Or are you just...
get a shower.
Or are you just...
presentable.
So when it's a player, it's not a problem. It's great. Well, so
when
honest. Didn't,
well, I mean, if
when
it's, a, player,
it's a head coach,
then the player actually worked up a sweat and everything, and the player can be like, "I gotta live in this stink." You know what's your what was your line from last week? You talk about
live
like
in your filth.
You live in your filth. Yeah. If you're a player, you gotta live in your filth, almost right.
That's not a literal statement. I just mean like live in your mess.
I'm taking
that you've created
it literal though.
As
I'm taking
adult.
Like a literal statement. Like live in your filth. If you did that to yourself, you go ahead and own that. And it's a reminder to everybody within your vicinity that you just lost a game and you smell because of it. But with the coach didn't even break a sweat.
Omaha.
All right, we go to the Pat McAfee Show where Bill Belichick is on, talking about his time here coaching the Browns in the 90s. Here we go.
The worst that it ever was for me, honestly, were these two questions. In Cleveland, you know, the guy that's run the defense, like, does he really know what he's doing? Are you sure we're okay on defense? Do you think maybe, you know, like, do you want to maybe call some more of those defenses? Save it. Offensive line, I know we're not the most talented offensive line, but... what about the coaching? Like, are we okay on the coaching up there? I feel like we can maybe get a little more out of these guys with the coaching. Now, that's Kirk Ferentz and Pat Hill. Like, no, the problem is not the coaching. The problem is not the coaching. Of all the coaches to be, honestly, to be asked about on the staff, the O-line and the defense with Saban, Ferentz, and Pat Hill, that was mind-boggling.
See, this is the type of content I wanted from Belichick the entire time. In the beginning portion of Belichick doing the media tour, we got a lot of things, which, by the way, he was 100% right on the idea that he didn't think Caleb Williams would be good this year based off of preseason football. Everyone's like, preseason football, how can you know so soon? He was right about it. At least it seems like he was right at this point. This is what I wanted. I wanted the old stories. I wanted him dunking on the Browns for mistakes they made in the 90s. I wanted these stories.
Why do you want those? I don't want those. I mean, it would be the funniest thing if he came out and just was like, my 5 years as the Browns head coach. That would be objectively funny because everyone would read it. I don't know that I want to know that. It just makes me more sad and disappointed at what an absolute monster Art Modell was as an owner and the fact that that team is no longer there and they won two Super Bowls in Baltimore.
He's like, yeah, Saban. He did it in such a condescending, great way. I love that.
Omaha!
JP, I'm the person who is usually in charge of locking down reservations and handling the trip details.
Yeah.
This weekend, I was thinking ahead to this Chicago trip. Well, we've got a Friendsgiving in December in Chicago.
Friendsgiving is usually for Thanksgiving, right? So you're going beyond.
Yes. Well, because this time there's some special reasons that we don't need to get into right now.
Okay.
This makes it sound much more tawdry than it is, but... this time it fell on Vanessa to make those plans, including like securing an Airbnb. And during the process, we're 5 minutes into the process, she shouted, "I don't like this. I value my own personal time." And it struck me as the funniest thing I've ever seen or heard anybody yell in frustration, because I've never known somebody who didn't value their own personal time. So the question is, Have you ever met anybody who doesn't value their own personal time or shouts that they do love it when they're frustrated?
No, but so some people just love that stuff, though. Some people love booking and they love organizing for trips and everything like that. You and Vanessa are both not in that group.
No, and that's what makes it funny is I do it begrudgingly all the time.
That does stink, man.
But never complain because it's got to get done. And so when she did it for 5 minutes and she experienced every frustration I've ever had in 17 years together, in those 5 minutes, I got to be honest with you, I felt happy.
Yeah, so Elise does a lot of like busy work at her work, you know what I mean? And she does a lot of like, hey, I got to send an email. I got to do this. Things that I just hate doing. Filling out forms, for instance. Forms stress me out so hard. I hate filling out forms. I think a lot of people do.
Is it the date of birth? Is it
all that stuff? I hate it so much. Elise is great at it. She'll just do it and not even think about it. And so like I feel like that sucks. You don't have that balance. I'm sorry.
No, that is the one place we do not have balance. But I got to see her frustrated with the things that usually frustrate me.
Did you then take that off her Friendsgiving plate and then, you know, take care of it for her?
No, I laughed in her face and said, yeah, sucks, doesn't it? Yeah, now you know how the other half lives, babe. That is Quick Hits. We might get to more of this later in the show. Special new segment today. Later in the show, you're going to listen to that. But when we come back, Darius Garland admitted to something I didn't think anybody in the Cavs would admit to, and we're better for it. That's next on 92.3 The Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.